Charm of Favor, Chapter 6.
"I sometimes wonder what I was thinking when I decided to be a lawyer," said Herb. The Starbucks on Broadway in New York City was practically next door to the building with HSBC Holdings PLC. This part of the city had a smell like no other city in the world. A half an hour south of Hell's Kitchen, this part of the Big Apple was trapped by the East River on three sides. Try as it would, the smell of New York City could never be mistaken for anywhere else. Herbert Kaczynski wore gray suits, like his city, and the pants had suspenders, so he could sit for weeks on end sipping coffee and comparing vaults full of records, line by line, to even bigger vaults of regulations. The rest of his time was spent sitting in policy briefings with government regulators who created their own jobs by the hundreds, simply by editing clauses and appendices in federal and state statutes. His job was to make sure companies and banks were in compliance. "Oh, you love it and you know it," said Felicity. "You have the most secure job in New York." She was considered middle-aged for a bank teller at 32 years old. She could keep a cash drawer to the penny and practically set a new standard for the term window dressing at the bank. "How is it you make twice the transactions of any other teller?" they would ask her. "You never know what little Chanel and Armani will do for your business," she would answer. Actually, she was naturally gorgeous. Her mother knew it the moment she was born and named her Felicity. She considered chastity for a moment, but knew right away that would be an open challenge to the entire male community. She was dangerously feminine, but smart enough to know one moment of indiscretion could ruin a woman's bank career. "The trick is to let the bookkeepers think you're a lesbian, and the rumors will do the rest," she told her mother. "Yeah, 10 years and I've never seen the inside of a courtroom. I guess I'm doing pretty well," said Herb, putting the black debit card back into his RF-protected wallet and zipping it into his inside jacket pocket. He looked at the reflection of his round frame in the pastry glass case and swore this was the last brown sugar crumble cake he would ever eat. "Well, it's never too late. What would you rather be doing?" asked Felicity. She enjoyed being a teller at the ground floor bank, but since she had been promoted to the internal audit team, she got to wear more comfortable shoes and didn't have to stand in one place for 8 hours a day. Besides, working with people in the bank was so much better than working with the public. After 10 years, she wondered if there was anyone in New York who could balance a checkbook. "I don't know. Maybe a movie critic, or maybe even a crane operator," said Herb, testing the plastic lid on the coffee with his tongue to see if the coffee would scald his tongue. He hated not being able to taste the brown sugar if he scalded the tip of his tongue. "How about a stand-up comic? You're a funny guy," said Felicity. "Funny strange doesn't make you famous," said Herb. "Works for Zachary Galifianakis," said Felicity. "He's strange and funny, but I'll bet he started out picking crumbs with the sparrows," said Herb. "Well, are you ready to do this thing?" asked Felicity. HSBC Holdings is one of the world's largest banks with offices in every major city. Its roots can be traced back through hundreds of years of acquisitions, mergers, and charters to establish what can be argued is the most contiguous central banking concern in history. Herbert began his audit the same way he had always done. Debits and credits into and out of statistically significant sampling of private and commercial accounts were matched to scan checks traced through a system of pings to and from a domestic and foreign bank, credit unions, and settlement accounts. Errors and missing paperwork or identifications were common enough, but what was found this day was something nobody expected. Not again. At first it was difficult to reconcile. Dozens, and then hundreds, and then thousands of bank accounts were associated with names for which there was no identification. These were not duplicates or empty, dormant bill pay accounts that turn up years after a bank officer had received a sales bonus. These accounts were receiving and sending large wire transfers. Herb's junior experience as part of the Wachovia and Wells Fargo money laundering case in Charlotte, North Carolina in 2005 made his spine tingle. He glanced over his shoulder as Felicity walked up to his chair with a bottled water. I brought you a water. It's almost 4 o'clock, said Felicity. Oh, thanks. Hey, do me a favor. Close the door, will you? Said Herb as quietly as he could. Sure. You want me to stay? Asked Felicity. Yeah, said Herb, waiting for the door to close. A door closing in a bank administration office during an audit sends a signal like a body falling to the floor. It usually means somebody is getting fired or promoted, but when an auditor closes a door, it means a finding. Every audit turns up little things, and sometimes big things, that will be discussed with the bank's managers during a closing meeting. 90 days later, there's a follow-up meeting to check if the corrective actions have been addressed, and perhaps to see if any permanent actions have been taken to prevent it from occurring again. Herb was coding a query in the SAP resource planning software that would produce a report of all accounts at HSBC that were missing identification and had received wire transfers greater than $1,000 and had made wire transfers to other accounts. He hovered his finger over the enter key for a moment, sat upright in the leather swivel chair, and pressed it. "What's going on? Did you find something?" asked Felicity. "Bring me my computer bag from over there." "Does that door lock?" asked Herb, watching the screen auto-scroll. "No, I don't think so." "Here you go," said Felicity, handing him his shoulder bag. "I need you to dial this number from your cell phone. Do it over there in that corner, and don't face the window. No person will answer, so I want you to leave this message, then hang up. No name, no hello, just those numbers, okay?" asked Herb, handing her a sticky note with 6 pairs of numbers on it. "No problem. I got it," said Felicity. "And no questions. I mean it. Don't look at anything. Don't ask me anything," said Herb, staring her in the eyes to make sure she understood. Felicity nodded and shuffled her low heels over to the corner of the office to make the call. Herb opened his bag and withdrew a hard drive from the bag. He plugged in his security dongle to make sure his drive could not be detected by the bank's server. There would be no record of the download or the query in the bank's system. Felicity and Herb smiled and shook hands as they left HSBC Holdings that day. There was no evening meeting. Herb told the account manager they would call next week and make an appointment to come back to make some notes. The accounting girls twirled in their chairs and slipped their shoes back on to get ready to go home for the day. The elevator was quiet and didn't stop until it reached the parking garage. Herb was glad, because he never played poker for a reason. "Felicity, it's been great working with you. You go home. I mean straight home. I think you should take next week off as well. I'll call your boss. Take the time to change cell phones. Just get a new one, and lose that one, okay? You did great. I mean it, really great," said Herb, shaking her hand and watching her turn soundlessly away and walk toward her little blue Toyota in the parking garage. He looked around to make sure there was no one watching. There were no people on that parking deck. There were no black SUVs anywhere, people sitting in cars. "Shit, shit, shit, shit," he said under his breath. HSBC was laundering money. Lots of it. From what Herb could see, it was in the billions, all coming in through an apparently small exchange house, Casa de Cambio Puebla. Oh, they tried to deny they knew anything about it at first, but Puebla had been under investigation by Mexican and U.S. federal authorities for 2 years when HSBC was caught for handling a staggering $376 billion of illegal money for an American bank, Wachovia. Wachovia was punished with a deferred prosecution, a yellow card. None of its employees were arrested, and amazingly, nothing stopped the flow of money or the use of phony bank accounts. HSBC continued business as usual, like they didn't have a worry in the world. They even used the same exchange house and the same wiring channels. A bank it had bought in Mexico, another in California. It was clear from the movements of staggering sums of money that they were even using some of their own branches. They were laundering so many $100 bills that the bank had the cartel's order specifically designed boxes to fit the precise dimensions of the teller windows so they wouldn't draw suspicion handling the large white bags of cash brought in on pallets to the bank branches. Business was good at HSBC. The electronic trail was easy to follow once Herb got the query programmed. What Herb was never able to do was find the handling charges. Someone very high up was skimming the cash flow to the tune of about 30%. Somewhere around $360 million was floating out there, and he wanted to find it. He went to the U.S. Attorney's office and met with Loretta Lynch to discuss the case. She was well-spoken and seemed to have the gift, as he called it. You know, there are damn few people in the world to whom you can ask a question, any question at all, and they will talk for hours without ever saying anything, he used to say to his mother. Oh, Herbert, I don't know what you mean, his mother would say. Lots of people speak English, he would say, but there are few people who have mastered it. They can string together adjectives and adverbs and even punctuation, and by the time they have finished talking, it takes more than a moment to realize they didn't use a single subject. Nothing. Nothing was done. Nothing was said. They said nothing you can use in a court of law. Mistakes were made, they will say. This really concerns me, they will admit. I don't recall is one of my favorites, said Herb, as his mother would shake her head without a clue what he meant. The truth scared the hell out of Herb. This wasn't lumber or sugar or even alcohol sales being covered up. This was drug money. Mexico's narco nightmare mercilessly shot, beheaded, and even burned alive 100,000 people on both sides of the border. And there were more than 20,000 missing. More than $1 trillion had been spent in the war on drugs. But there were more drugs now than ever before. Heroin and cocaine were flowing by the trainloads into America, and the cash addicted the biggest banks in the world as surely as if they had injected it into their veins. But what happened next is what really scared him. He wished the very next minute he had never heard of HSBC, or that he never passed the bar in the state of New York. HSBC was openly and blatantly acting like the financial services wing of the biggest drug producers the world had ever known, and he had sat in the U.S. Attorney's office laying out his evidence. He had lost a month's worth of sleep worrying about the indictments and the trials and the exposure this would bring to him and to his mother and maybe even to Felicity. And then he read the judgment from the DOJ and watched the financial news. Attorney General Eric Holder approved of the bank being fined more than Wachovia, a record $1.9 billion. But this was less than 5 weeks' income for HSBC's American subsidiary. The Department of Justice, under the recommendation of the U.S. Attorney Loretta Lynch, deemed that HSBC should not be prosecuted in the way that a backstreet dope dealer would be. There would be a 5-year deferred prosecution. He left that meeting confident. She was the law east of the Pecos, but this felt like a high-altitude maneuver. HSBC announced that it would partially defer bonus compensation for its most senior officials during the 5-year period of the deferred prosecution agreement. Ergo, they'd be remunerated with less than usual. There would be no indictments. Not a single bank officer lost their job. What the holy hell was going on, Herb asked himself. And not just that. Paul Thurston, the man in charge of HSBC Mexico for some of the relevant period, was promoted to become head of global retail on a new multi-million-dollar salary. Stephen Green, the chief executive of the bank throughout its service to Chapo Guzman's cartel, was appointed to the British government. Green's replacement as CEO, Stuart Gulliver, did what behemoth corporations always do in these situations. He called a press briefing to apologize for past mistakes. He said, "We accept responsibility for our past mistakes. We have said we are profoundly sorry for them." He insisted HSBC was a fundamentally different organization now. Britain's financial media excoriated the Mexicans for tarnishing the bank's good name. The New York Times not only got the idea, but articulated it clearly. Federal and state authorities have chosen not to indict HSBC, the London-based bank, on charges of vast and prolonged money laundering for fear that criminal prosecution would topple the bank and in the process endanger the financial system. Referring to the Wachovia case, Robert Mazur, the U.S. federal agent who infiltrated the BCCI bank, which was prosecuted for laundering money for Colombian drug cartel Pablo Escobar, said something similar. There were external circumstances that worked to Wachovia's benefit, not the least that the U.S. banking system was on the edge of collapse. Nevertheless, Mazur added cogently to this weekend's deliberations, "The only thing that will get the message to the banks and start to solve the problem is the rattle of handcuffs in the boardroom." But that didn't happen either. Within a month of the charges being made public, a smooth and impenetrable firewall was formed around the HSBC board with the hiring of a tall, well-spoken former Lockheed Martin executive director, James Comey. He was indomitable, and his voice reeked of innocence behind his wide-set blue eyes. He assured everyone things were just fine and that the bank had turned over a new leaf. It was a truly amazing thing to watch when James Comey walked into a room. He was abnormally tall at 6'8". With dress shoes on, he would have to duck to come in through a doorway. His hands were large and powerful, and yet he was lean and well-tailored. But putting all that aside, it was when he spoke that his enemies strangely went silent. He had a charm of favor about him that shut the mouths of his dissenters. If the police were sent to arrest him for corruption of the highest order, they would leave the room smiling and hanging their handcuffs on the coat rack on the way out of the room. He was able to openly violate the rules everywhere he went, because he knew this charm would keep him from harm. He was one of the most trusted and valuable soldiers for the Clinton crime syndicate. His deep blue eyes and boyish face disarmed his enemies, while his kaleidoscope semantics were clearly spoken truth and nothing but the truth. Less than 9 months later, he would be selected by President Barack Obama for a 10-year term as the new director of the FBI. A little more than a year later, Loretta Lynch was nominated by President Obama to be the new U.S. Attorney General. Herb began to understand where the skimmed money had gone. One by one, the senators smiled and approved the appointments. Their red faces and pounding fists of protest became broad smiles and firm handshakes as they went off to open manila envelopes in the dark and masturbate behind their interns. That much money isn't used to make men rich and comfortable. No one risks and goes through such phenomenal measures to protect the solvency of the world's largest bank to make a few executives' retirement funds fat with untraceable cash. No, this is the kind of money that buys countries. The legal announcement of the charges read like something out of a spy novel. At first, you think the sword of Damocles is glistening above the top executives of the bank. The charges were horrendous and damning beyond measure. HSBC is being held accountable for stunning failures of oversight, and worse, that led the bank to permit narcotics traffickers and others to launder hundreds of millions of dollars through HSBC subsidiaries, and to facilitate hundreds of millions more in transactions with sanctioned countries, said Assistant Attorney General Brewer. The record of dysfunction that prevailed at HSBC for many years was astonishing. Today, HSBC is paying a heavy price for its conduct, and under the terms of today's agreement, if the bank fails to comply with the agreement in any way, we reserve the right to fully prosecute it. Today, we announced the filing of criminal charges against HSBC, one of the largest financial institutions in the world, said U.S. Attorney Lynch. HSBC's blatant failure to implement proper anti-money laundering controls facilitated the laundering of at least $881 million in drug proceeds through the U.S. financial system. HSBC's willful flouting of U.S. sanctions laws and regulations resulted in the processing of hundreds of millions of dollars in OFAC-prohibited transactions. Today's historic agreement, which imposes the largest penalty in any BSA prosecution to date, makes it clear that all corporate citizens, no matter how large, must be held accountable for their actions. Cartels and criminal organization are fueled by money and profits, said ICE Director Morton. Without their illicit proceeds used to fund criminal activities, the lifeblood of their operation is disrupted. Thanks to the work of Homeland Security investigators and our El Dorado Task Force, this financial institution is being held accountable for turning a blind eye to money laundering that was occurring right before their very eyes. HSI will continue to aggressively target financial institutions whose inactions are contributing in no small way to the devastation wrought by the international drug trade. There will also be a high price to pay for enabling dangerous criminal enterprises. In addition to forfeiting $1.256 billion as part of its deferred prosecution agreement with the Department of Justice, HSBC has also agreed to pay $665 million in civil penalties, $500 million to the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and $165 million to the Federal Reserve for its AML program violations. The OCC penalty also satisfies a $500 million civil penalty of the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. The bank's $375 million settlement agreement with OFAC is satisfied by the forfeiture to the Department of Justice. The United Kingdom's Financial Services Authority is pursuing a separate action. As required by the DPA, HSBC also has committed to undertake enhanced AML and other compliance obligations and structural changes within its entire global operations to prevent a repeat of the conduct that led to this prosecution. HSBC has replaced almost all its senior management, clawed back deferred compensation bonuses given to its most senior AML and compliance officers, and has agreed to partially defer bonus compensation for its most senior executives, its group general managers and group managing directors, during the period of the five-year DPA. In addition to these measures, HSBC has made significant changes in its management structure and AML compliance functions that increase the accountability of its most senior executives for AML compliance features. According to court documents, from 2006 to 2010, HSBC Bank USA severely understaffed its AML compliance function and failed to implement an anti-money laundering program capable of adequately monitoring suspicious transactions and activities from HSBC Group affiliates, particularly HSBC Mexico, one of HSBC Bank USA's largest Mexican customers. This included a failure to monitor billions of dollars in purchases of physical U.S. dollars or banknotes from these affiliates. Despite evidence of serious money laundering risks associated with doing business in Mexico, from at least 2006 to 2009, HSBC Bank USA rated Mexico as standard risk, its lowest AML risk category. As a result, HSBC Bank failed to monitor over $760 billion in wire transfers and over $9.4 billion in purchases of physical U.S. dollars from HSBC Mexico during this period, when HSBC Mexico's own lax AML controls caused it to be the preferred financial institution for drug cartels and money laundering. A significant portion of the laundered drug trafficking proceeds were involved in the black market peso exchange, a complex money laundering system that is designed to move the proceeds from the sale of illegal drugs in the United States to drug cartels outside of the United States, often in Colombia. According to court documents, beginning in 2008, an investigation conducted by ICE Homeland Security Investigations HSI El Dorado Task Force, in conjunction with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York, identified multiple HSBC Mexico accounts associated with BMPE activity and revealed that drug traffickers were depositing hundreds of thousands of dollars in bulk U.S. currency every day into HSBC Mexico accounts. Since 2009, the investigation has resulted in the arrest, extradition, and conviction of numerous individuals illegally using HSBC Mexico accounts in furtherance of the BMPB activity. As a result of HSBC Bank's USA AML failures, at least $881 million in drug trafficking proceeds, including proceeds of drug trafficking by the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico and the Norte de Valle cartel in Colombia, were laundering through HSBC Bank USA. HSBC Group admitted it did not inform HSBC Bank USA of significant AML deficiencies at HSBC Mexico, despite knowing of these problems and their effect on the potential flow of illicit funds through HSBC Bank USA. To this day, all of the bank officers involved in the formation of phony bank accounts, the reception and dispersal of drug cartel funds, and the blatant and deliberate cover-up of the existence, origin, or destination of those funds are still employed at the bank. No one has been fired. No person was indicted or sent to jail. No person was fined or reduced in pay. The more than 1,000 pages of evidence gathered and submitted by Herbert Kaczynski remains sealed.